And we are in heavenly places whenever we're in the presence of our Lord. I can't wait to be in heavenly places permanently, but we're on page 132 of the book called In Heavenly Places, which is also titled, subheading, God's Word, Our Guide and Counselor, May 5th, if you have the book. And it says, For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. And it says that in Psalm 18:28, of course. Okay, let me just check. Okay, all right. Now, and it goes on to say that God's word is our light. It is Christ's message to his heritage, who have been bought with the price of his blood. It was written for our guidance, and if we make his word our counselor, we shall never walk in strange paths. Our words, whether we are in home or associating with those outside the home, will be kind, affectionate, and pure. See, that's one of the things that a lot of people have an issue. Like, I used to have an issue here outside the home. No, wait. I had the issue inside the home ever since I was a kid. But outside the home, I didn't have the issue. Still to this day, I don't. Except for, like, if I'm on the phone and someone's annoying me, like at the phone company or something like that, I used to have a real issue there, and I'd start yelling but the Lord has helped me there considerably, because all it does is allow me to get tested again, which means next month I'm going to have to deal with this all over again. And literally, every single solitary month until it got through this bonehead of mine, it took 13 months. But at the end of those 13 months, the phone company finally realized there was a major issue in regards to the problems we were having here, and I got 13 months worth of services refunded in a check. So it was a blessing when I, finally started using the gentleness of Christ's spirit. But in the house, and I attributed it to my own stubbornness in regards to not unlearning that which I was taught as a child, because that's one of the reasons I used to go out into the woods, and why I was so thin when I was a little kid is because I wouldn't eat. I'd have my breakfast, if there was any in the house. I mean, 11 kids, there were some times there just wasn't breakfast. But I would get on my bike, and I would go out to the prairies or the woods, wherever I can get to, and just talk to God. That's all I did as a little kid. And that went on for years because of the fighting. Oh, the fighting in the house was always constant fighting and teasing, and oh, it was just insane. And then when I got married, I started, when I would lash out at my siblings to try to get them to knock it off, I would do that when I got older to my wife and my children. And but when Christ comes into your life, even here, though, if you're stubborn, this could take you years, because it took me years to get to the point where I calm down. And I still get a little snappy at times, but it's extremely rare now, and I understand the theology behind be angry and sin not, too. So, but I still have to be careful, because even though I can be angry and sin not, I don't want to take the advantage that, look, I can be angry now because it's biblically accurate at this point, but don't let it go overboard. Because, boy, that's a slippery slope. Anyway, she goes on to say, if we study the Word and make it part of our lives, we shall have a wholesome experience, which will always speak forth the truth. We shall search our hearts diligently, comparing our daily speech and tenor of life with the Word, that we may make no mistake. And that's another thing, too, is if you're striving onto that perfection, and I think I'm going to put this in my praise list. I'll mention this later. But we all know the trials that are going on right now. I mean, the emails I'm getting, Craig's getting them too. I mean, we're just getting flooded with all sorts of emails, phone calls, and even just letters. I just got a letter the other day too from a man that's getting attacked on every corner, and in the regular mail. And so we know the enemy's very upset at us, but at the same time, I got to tell you, I've never seen the Father's hand move like this before. It's been getting very, very amazing. Let's just put it that way. It's really, really, it's hard to put it in words, but let me see if I can remember what I was talking about. I'll do that when we do the praise list later. But anyway, she says, And the thing that I was getting at with like, make no mistake, because as we strive onto this perfection, I mean, even at the point with some of the guys that yell at their wives, like I used to and stuff like that, what does the Bible say? Treat your wife as the Lord treats the church, so that your prayers be not hindered. I mean, I'm always about, you know, harping on people, saying, you know, when they try to get me to, and I'll do this to complete strangers when they'll try to get me to do something that I know is wrong. I says, yeah, well, I like having my prayers answered. This is like with the insurance company three months ago. She says, yeah, well, we'll just, you know, pencil her in here, you know, and everything will be okay. I says, yeah, but she does not live here. I don't want to commit any type of fraud whatsoever. Oh, yeah, we're not going to say it. You know, look, I don't want to take, it doesn't matter if you're okaying. The insurance company was okaying for me to, they were saying it was okay for me to let my daughter stay on our insurance policy so it will be cheaper for her. Even though she moved out months ago, right? Because now her insurance has lapsed because it's getting ready for renewal. And so she had to put the address change in. And they were saying, oh, don't worry about it. And I says, yeah, well, it may be okay with you and all of a sudden, but the law is the law and it's fraud if I do it. And my Heavenly Father's watching. And I says, I don't want to mess up my prayer life. And this is part of what I'm talking about here is like where she says, make no mistake. We can't, you know, and this plays in a big way when it comes to how you treat others and, you know, especially when it regards to spouses. Treat your wife as you would have, as Christ would, you know, treat the church, and your prayers won't be hindered, or do unto others as you have them do unto you, you know, the golden rule. And so it's just an amazing thing. And we're all being tested more and more and more in this area specifically, because we're surrounded now by people that just don't want to hear what we have to say. But that's okay. They don't have to listen. They can watch. But she says, there are many in this age of the world who act as if they were at liberty to question the words of the infinite, to review his decisions and statutes, endorsing, revising, reshaping, and annulling at their pleasure. Sounds like a lot of plastic Christians, doesn't it? Or Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1 type of Christians. I mean, they're going to read the Bible the way they want. They're going to walk the way they want. But they're going to want to be called Christians just to hide their shame. And that's what Isaiah 4:1 is more or less about in today's kind of language. And that's what's all over the place. I mean, unbelievable how it is that people actually call themselves Christians. And you can tell they're not. It's not that you're judging them. They're literally telling you they are not Christians. She says, we are never safe while we are guided by human opinions, but we are safe when we are guided by a thus saith the Lord. We cannot trust the salvation of our souls to any lower standard than the decisions of an infallible judge. Those who make God their guide and his word their counselor behold the lamp of life. God's living oracles guide their feet in straight paths. Those who are thus led to not dare to judge the word of God, but ever hold that his word judges them. I mean, it's an absolute unequivocal guide. I mean, a never-changing anchor of truth, if you will. This is one of the things I love about the Word of God. You can read it for 20, 30 years, and you could backslide, let's say, and then 20, 30 years, you come back to the Scriptures, and it'll still be the same. It hasn't changed. Now, mankind will change it and, you know, do this and do that. We all know about the prophecy of the defiled bread. It's all over the Old Testament, and it's mentioned quite a few times in the New as well. So we kind of expected the NIVs or the NASBs or the Douay Rheims and all these other corrupted Bibles, or bogus Bibles, as I like to call them. But the King James is the only one that was more or less protected when the two witnesses were killed and laid in the streets for those 3.5 years, or days, as the prophecy says. But we know a day equals a year, you know, Ezekiel 4:6. And by the way, I just got another email. I mean, this is crazy. I remember back in the day when we were doing Fire Talk, and this was, I don't know, 10, 15, I don't know, whenever the Internet started, about a year or two after that, we started doing this Fire Talk thing, which is just like this, a chat room. And there was these two guys that came in there trying to act like they were the two witnesses. And I've read my Bible, and I know the two witnesses are the Old and New Testament, but these guys obviously didn't. Well, I just got an email today by someone else now that believes that the two witnesses are going to be here on the planet pretty soon. I mean, look at like that one movie that Kirk Cameron put out, the Left Behind series, where he did the thing afterwards, and all of a sudden he's got these two witnesses where they show fire coming out of their mouths and stuff like that. They're just taking the symbols as literal meanings. And this is one of the blessings of Scripture. I mean, the wicked cannot in any way, shape, or form understand the truth unless they have Christ the Lord. And that's one of the downfalls for them, of course. Because the Lord can say the same thing to two people in a room. One will understand them. The other one will take it in a whole different light. They won't even understand, they won't get it. It's amazing how, and it's just the same truth. It's the same words. She says they get their faith and religion from the Word of the Living God. It is the guide and counsel that directs their path. The Word is indeed a light to their feet and a lamp to their path. They walk under the direction of the Father of light, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He whose tender mercies are all over his works makes the path of the just as a shining light, which shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And I like that scripture where it says it shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And that day's coming, like I was saying a few minutes ago, where in regards to these trials that we've all been going through. And it's hitting hard here at the house, like Craig's experienced this as well. But then we're getting the emails from everybody else in regards to all these insane trials. And it's hitting in areas I never expected. Even it seems like the people of God are being hit financially too now, because, we're getting hit now. Because if they can't, they're going to tithe regardless. People are going to tithe regardless if they're obedient, that is. And so regardless, but what if their pays go down? Well, then guess what? So does ours, because a full-time minister, that's what he lives on, period. And it's the tithe and love offerings. That's it. And so the attacks are literally coming from all angles. But at the same time, it's like our paths are being hit with the shining light, and it's shining more and more. We're getting more and more understanding, not just of his word, but of his presence. And things have been happening that I don't really want to talk about. But maybe one day, we will, because I think it's exciting. But at the same time, I'm very concerned, because I know there's many out there that aren't experiencing this, and some of them I love. I love everybody, of course, but what I'm saying is, because that's the duty of a Christian. But there's, loved ones, family members, and stuff like that. I got, like I said, 10 siblings alone. And I got 8 kids, and so I got loved ones, and not to mention my wife, but that's a no-brainer there, huh? All right, and she finishes out by saying here, the Bible is the voice of God to his people. As we study the living oracles, we are to remember that God is speaking to his people out of his word. If we realize the importance of searching the scriptures, how much more diligently we would study them. That's why I look forward to it every single solitary morning. Like King David, I seek thee early, is what he said in the Psalms. And it's an awesome, I don't want to start my day without it. If I know I got to go someplace extra early in the morning, well, I'm getting up extra early just to read my Bible, because I'm not starting the day without it. Now, there are emergencies, but I think in the last 30 years, there's maybe been 2 times where I left the house without reading. But then somehow, some way, I was able to stop during the day and then actually read. But I don't like doing it that way. I want to start the day. And I can't end the day. Well, yeah, I might end the day reading Psalms or Proverbs or something like that. But I don't want to do my study at the end of the day, because what happens? What do a lot of people do to get to sleep? Some people have a hard time getting to sleep, so they'll read. And it kind of knocks them out. Well, that'll happen to me, and I don't want to drift off as I'm reading his word. I want to be there with the fork, the knife, the whole plate of truth. I want to dine on it. I want to find his words and eat them, as Jeremiah said. So I can't do that at night. I'll be snoring before I get halfway through it. So anyway, I hope and pray you were blessed. Be back in a minute.